Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
What's going on, Every Nation church family? My name's Pastor Nathan.
Pastor Shino.
Man, we are so excited to be bringing a message from God's Word today. We've got a word for you, and it's all about grateful for the people that are in our lives. And it's my pleasure to get to do this with one of the best friends in the world, Pastor Shino here. So we're going to be tag teaming this thing together.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this. You know, this is a dear friend of mine, Nathan. And, you know, there's something about having that gratitude towards people. You know, without people, sometimes we're not going to make it where we want to be. And there's a lot of times when we don't stop to say thank you to somebody. And so hopefully this message will inspire you to not take for granted the people that we have around us.
That's right. Well, my hope through this message is that it's not just that we're grateful for those kind and loving people in our lives. I mean, it's easy to love Pastor Shino. This is one of the most encouraging, one of the most life-giving, one of the most faith-filled and faithful men that you can find in the world. It's easy to love Pastor Shino and be grateful for him. But what do we do with those less than lovely people? And what I want to talk to us about is what gratitude does. Is it gives us fresh eyes. Last week we talked about having the eyes of a foreigner. You see the whole world brand new. And we learn how we can be thankful in any given moment. But it gives us fresh eyes toward the reality that's right in front of us. And when we do that, it allows us to live in the best version of the given facts. When we're thankful, when we're grateful, then we're living in the best version. So today, whether you're eating McDonald's or you're eating steak dinner, whether you're eating, you know, cereal for dinner, or you're eating with the best of company, whatever it is, we can be grateful in every circumstance. And then we're living the best version of that. And when we're grateful for other people around us, we're seeing and agreeing the person and the promises that are in that person. And we're agreeing with God. And we're calling out the best version of that person. And this is something that we get to see through the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And we're going to start in verse 1 and 2. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Again, this is about being grateful for people. And we're going to start in a pretty dark place. David is running from King Saul. David has just escaped an evil Philistine king. He had to use all of his cunning to escape this king. And here's David. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and his father's house heard it, they went down to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him, and he became a commander over them. And there were about 400 men there. Now, Pastor Shino, how would you like to have that as your church plant team?
That'd be a little tough. I mean, you think about the words that have been thrown out: bitter, debt, distress. You know, I mean, these men were broken. They were broken. And then here it is, David inheriting these men. And what I love about what we're getting ready to do is we're getting ready to talk about something about how David began to call these men up and out. So Pastor Nathan.
That's right. So how can we be grateful? How can we empower people to be the best versions of themselves? And I believe that what David starts to do is he starts to lead these men in such a way that changes them and transforms them. He starts with 400 bitter men. And these are men that have been through the hardest of hard times, abused, used, mistreated by the king, Saul. These men are killers. These men are eventually going to become David's right-hand man. They are transformed under David's leadership from bitter men into mighty men. And so how did David do this? How did he transform these men from bitter men into mighty men? How can we, through the eyes and the lens of gratefulness, see the best in what God has given us? See the best in the people around us? So often, I think that we're looking for getting in the circles of the most influential people, the top offices, getting around the right people, getting the right mentor, getting the right friendship group. And some of that is really important. But sometimes God just puts you in places where it's less about how great that person is, but what is God going to work in your life through that difficult relationship. And when we put on the eyes of gratefulness, when we put on an attitude of gratitude, we're able to enter into the best version of the reality and the circumstances that God has brought us to. Now, when we dig into this story of David, there's not a lot of granular detail. It's just 400 men that are bitter and distressed. But there's one story in particular that comes out, and we get to see how David interacts with one of these men and the bitterness and the hurt and the pain and distress that's on this one man. In a few chapters earlier, David was hungry. He had some men with him. They were hungry, and so they went into the temple, and they talked to a guy named Ahimelech. And Ahimelech hooked him up with some bread, gave him some bread. He prayed to God on David's behalf, and David left there knowing what he needed to do next, and also with some bread for he and his men. There was this another guy watching this happen named Doeg. Doeg was a bad dude, and he went to Saul, the king, and he told all about what Ahimelech had helped David. And when Saul heard this, Saul gave the orders, Ahimelech has to die. And he brought Ahimelech into the presence of the king, and he grilled him there. And then he gave the command, and Doeg, in the presence of the king, slices down Ahimelech, leaves from there and goes and kills 85 other priests, leave from there and goes and kills Ahimelech's whole family. It says he struck down women and children, infants, oxen and donkeys. He just killed everybody. But in the midst of the bloodshed and the travesty, one man escapes. And we pick up in 1 Samuel 22, verse 22 and 23, it says this, but one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abithar, he escaped and fled after David. And Abithar told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. And David said to Abithar, I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me. Do not be afraid. For he who seeks my life seeks your life. And with me, you shall be in safekeeping. The first thing that we need to do in order to start to put on that lens of gratitude toward people is we've got to do something difficult. And often it costs us dearly, especially when somebody's angry, especially when somebody has a hard story. And that is, we need to see them and we need to hear them. If we're going to move in gratitude, we're going to hear the stories. We've got to be willing to dig into people's lives. We've got to be willing to hear the pain of their life and be okay with it. And when we hear it, we're not defensive. Can you believe that? David in this moment is not defensive. Man, that Saul, he's what an animal. I can't believe that happened to you. He doesn't fly off the handle. He's not reactionary. He goes, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Because of me, I've occasioned the death of your whole family. He hears. And he sees.
That's right. That's right. And so when you think about the hearing, you know, it's more than just hearing with David also, but there was a coming together with a heart of compassion. Man. So we can be empathetic, we can be sympathetic, but when you come into that realm of compassion, just like Pastor Nathan said, he took ownership of the situation because of what I've done has caused calamity in the situation to y'all. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to allow you men and you to come be with me. You know, the Bible says this in Romans 12, 15, it says to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. You know, you sit there and you listen and you sit there and you see in the eyes of another person, the hurt, the pain, the struggle, the loss. There's something about a genuine connection that comes together because not only is Saul just after them, but Saul's also after David as well. And it brings these men together. The same God that's killed your folks, your people, is the same God trying to kill me as well. And so now there's a kindred spirit, if you will, a brotherhood. But it all goes back to this. It's because he took time to listen. He heard what this man was saying, but he also had the eyes to see, hey, you're not alone. I'm gonna bring you into this with me. I can see your hurt. Just as people can see mine, and we're going to come together and be one.
Yeah. We've got to have a heart after people. If we're going to be grateful for people, if we're going to see people step into all of who they are, the people that are around us. Yes, the people that are easy, the people that are full of faith, yeah. But also the bitter, the distressed, the indebted, the people that have been drug out and smashed up through this pandemic season. We're going to have to hear them out. Not all of those stories are going to be easy, but our heart toward others is, I'm here for you. I'm here to lift you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to see God sing and shout over you. I'm here to agree with heaven's words over you. And it starts with this seeing and hearing. The next thing that David does is just such a model for us today, is he honors, he shows honor all around him. He shows honor to even things that were really difficult to. Now, Saul is after these guys. All of these men are in debt, distressed, bitter of spirit, drug out because of one nasty dude. He's the king of the nation. He's Saul, he's in power, and he is ruining these men's lives. And David has an interesting moment in a cave with Saul. David is running for his life. Saul has sent out 3,000 men. Meanwhile, David has about 400 to 600 men. 3,000 men sent out, armed, trained against the debt squad, the losers, the people that don't have it together, the people that have zero favors to call in, and they're running for their lives, and they're trapped in a cave. And who walks in on that cave but the king, Saul, the enemy of all that they stand for? And this guy gets vulnerable. Saul gets super vulnerable in this cave because he pulls down his pants and he has a moment with nature. This is from the Bible. You can't make this stuff up. 1 Samuel 24:6-7. While Saul's in the cave, all the men are there with David, and they're saying, Dave, kill him. He's vulnerable. He's got his pants down, literally. Go get him. This is your moment. The guy that's causing us all the distress, he's here. The Lord has turned him into your hands. Go get him. They're spiritualizing, killing the king. How is David going to respond in this moment? He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, my Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went his way. David in this moment honored Saul. Here's what honor means. It's agreeing in action and in word with how God has designed a person. It's agreeing in action and in word how God has designed a person. So it starts with agreeing in action and word that that person that you maybe don't like as much as you maybe should, that person that is annoying you, that person that is causing you extraordinary distress, they were made with the same stencil that made you. They're made in the image of God. We've got to do reckoning with this. That the people that we have the most problems with are also image bearers of God. Man, Pastor Shino, I remember being out in a Stop the Silence event. It was praying for, in the wake of George Floyd, his murder, we were praying for reconciliation and that there would be justice in our land. And there was one pastor that stood up from our street, from our city. And he prayed in this way. He said, "This week I saw the most tragic thing because I saw the image of God with his face in the street. And I saw the image of God with his knee on a man's head." And that idea of one image bearer attacking another image bearer broke me in a brand new way. That we can agree with God's image in us or we can disagree with God's image in us. But what we have to hold in our hearts as God, as people of God, as believers in the Imago Dei of God placing his divine spark in every person, is that even when people are at their worst, they're still carrying the image of God. It tore me apart in new ways and new ways and in new ways, because it's easy to hate. When there's nastiness and on our streets and there's corruption of power and there's displays of force that should never be happening, man, it's easy to hate. But what do we do when we see people carrying God's image still? How do we honor what God has put in people? That boss that you really want to tear 7 ways from Sunday, just tear them apart. How do we honor that man or that woman? our spouse, our children? How do we agree with the beauty and the wonder and the richness of God that He's put in them? The song that heaven wants to sing over them. How do we say, God, give me your heart for this person in this moment? I guarantee you, when we start to agree with heaven, when we start to agree with God's heart over people, that's when our circumstances can actually begin to change.
So good.
Because, man, it's easy to agree with hatred. I understand that pull every time that I see nastiness in our world. I want to agree with hatred. I want to agree with hatred in my home. I want to agree with hatred in my workplace. I want to agree with hatred on our streets. And in New York City, man, there's so many opportunities to hate. But how do I agree with the heart of God for people? How do I honor with my words and my actions, agree with God over the design that God has placed in that person?
So good. You know, you think about these men, and they had a right to be angry.
Yes, they did.
You know, their families have been wiped out. They're in a cave. Their dignity's been taken away from them. Their livelihood, in a sense. And here's the man coming in that gave the order to destroy their families. But what I love about David is what Pastor Nathan said. He chose to obey God. He chose to agree with God. Don't touch my anointed. And, you know, not only is it important for us to understand as believers, because we're talking about today being grateful for people. And yes, you have to love the ones that have hurt, love the ones that have caused pain, love the ones that have done things that has harmed you, that has made you feel less than. You know, there's something about moving in a different spirit, moving in a spirit opposite of what most people in the world would want to do. And so here it is in this moment, honor. How do you honor somebody that has hurt you, has made you feel less than? How do you honor somebody? You know, one of the things that we have to understand as followers of Christ is this thing called self-control. We have to be able to control ourselves when our emotions are raging, when there's hurt, when there's pain, when there's things that are raging inside of us to want to get back at that man or get back at that woman. You have to have that self-control. You know, honoring is important. Because you can move in a different spirit. You can go opposite of what people say. The Bible says this in Proverbs 18:21, that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. You know, instead of speaking death and slur over Saul, man, he chose to do it different. He says, man, no, I'm going to honor this man. And here's why I think this was significant, because one day David was going to be in that position and these men were going to be following him. And how you treat others when they're in a position of leadership is how you will be treated one day as well. And so if you want respect, you have to give respect. If you want honor, you have to give honor. And if you want forgiveness, you have to forgive as well.
Wow.
And these men were walking in a manner honorable to God, but also did it understand this was going to mold and shape them to become honorable men as well as when David got in that seat to lead and be the king. And so when you're doing these things, it's always important not to pull out the darkness of a person. You know, it's easy to be critical, but critical crushes people. When you're critical, you hear the words always, you're always like this. Wow. You're never going to change. These men, they could have easily gone that way, but you know, they chose something different. They chose to honor. What honor does, honor not only inspires, but it also empowers. And let's be honorable people. Let's honor one another. Let's not tear each other down. Let's not, hey, you did this, so I'm gonna do that. No, let's live in a different manner, a different way of a lifestyle that's honoring and pleasing to God. That brings a heart of gratitude for one another. And you know, that also brings a spirit of unity as well.
Man, that's strong. Because of the honor that was on David's life, David's men who wanted to kill Saul didn't kill David in the cave and then Saul.
Yes, yes.
That is a testimony. That's a powerful thing. And what I love is that this isn't just fleshed out in our Bible and in our relationships, but there's actually clinical research that goes behind this as well. Shanti Feldman has ministered to us right before the pandemic. She came and did a marriage seminar with her husband, Jeff. They also talked to our married couples and parents through the pandemic as well. And some of her research has fleshed this out. They did a massive nationwide study, spent I think between $250,000 and $500,000 on it. And what they kept finding time and time again is that whether you thrive in life and your relationships is far more related to how you treat other people than how you yourself are treated.
So good.
If you are going to thrive in life, it's more about how you treat others, was the bedrock of what she found out. She said that you need to treat others with kindness. To me, when we treat others with kindness, I think of gratitude, recognizing the person that God has placed in your life and agreeing with that. But she said that we're bad at kindness. Everybody thinks that they're good at kindness, but that was something that we have to grow in, especially with those more difficult people in our lives. And so they did a study group of 1,000 people over 2.5 years, and they're like, what is really going to work? What's really going to make the difference? And here's the three things that they finally found can make the difference. If you do these three things every day, there's even just for 30 days, it kickstarts it. She calls it the 30-day kindness challenge. Do these three things, and I'll tell you the stats at the end. It's incredible. There's an extraordinary percentage of turnarounds for even the most difficult relational situations. The first is saying nothing negative about them, either to them or to somebody else about them, because there's power, life and death in the tongue. Number two, you find one thing that you can sincerely praise for them. Then you go into that person, you tell them that thing. Hey, I saw that you got home early to take care of the kids. Hey, honey, I saw that you were really focused in your homework. Hey, boss, I saw that you spent a little extra moment here with me today. I want to thank you for that. You thank them directly, and then you sincerely praise them, and then you go and tell one other person as well. Thirdly, you do one simple act of kindness or generosity towards them every day. That could be spending an extra moment with them. That could be giving them something. That could be helping them. That could even just be asking, hey, how can I serve you today? But one genuine act of kindness or generosity. From this, they found that 89% of relationships improved. And that's just generally all relationships, but in particularly in love relationships, they found that nearly 74% felt more attraction and love for their partner when they did the kindness challenge. And then what's incredible is that 66% felt that love reciprocated back to them. That is extraordinary. She said that as a statistician, she never sees these kinds of results. What's incredible is that when we build a culture of honor into our life, yes, there is even a statistical turnaround. We can see the evidence in it. So thank you, Shanti, for teaching us these truths. So the first thing that we do is we see and we hear people.
So
the second thing that we do is we show honor toward people. This is how we express gratitude. The third thing that we do is that we serve people.
Yes.
We serve people. I want to go back to that story of Abiathar, David coming and supporting this man. How does he end his talk with Abiathar in the cave? He says, stay with me. Do not be afraid. For he who seeks my life seeks your life too. With me, you shall be in safekeeping. Basically, what David is saying is, Abiathar, I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to protect you with my life. I'm going to lay down my life. There's a dude that's coming to hunt the two of us down. He finds the common ground and says, I'm going to serve you, man. Yeah. I'm going to give my life for you. And friends, when we receive the life of God into us, when we get a hold of what God has done for us, it's only natural that that starts to flow through us, that we serve one another, that we love one another with our lives. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Bonnie was joking that everybody's saying, I love you, man. I love you, man. He says, well, can I take that to the bank? And I want to say, yes, Pastor Bonnie, you can take my love to the bank.
Yes, yes,
yes. Yes, church, you can take my love to the bank. Call me up, spin me up, use me, because I am for you. And we're for each other. And here in every nation, we're building a culture where we're for each other and we're for our city. Every Sunday, we hang signs out front of our building that says, here for you. What does that mean? That whatever you need, we're going to dig in. We're going to have compassion. We're going to see. We're going to hear. And as Pastor Sheena was talking about, we're not just going to have empathy. Empathy means to feel, to empath, to feel on the inside what you're feeling. I'm not just going to internalize your feelings. I'm going to compassion, which means co-passion, co-suffer with you. I'm going to get in the trenches with you. I'm going to serve you.
So good. And you know, there's a lot of people out there right now that need to be served.
It's true.
You know, the Bible says this in Proverbs 11:25, when you refresh people, you too will be refreshed. or in a sense, when you serve people, when you serve them, when you go above and beyond, there's something that'll come back on you. And it's important for us to be able to come along people, come alongside people, and to minister and to encourage and to lift and inspire and to meet them where they need to be met. That's what David did. He met this man where he needed to be met. He didn't need a big rah-rah speech. No, he needed somebody that would get in the yoke with him, to stay along with him, to bear with him, man, to feel what he felt and to say, man, I'm willing to move forward with you no matter what. Serve somebody. You know, serving does something also. It also takes the selfishness out of us, because when you serve somebody and you're helping somebody and you're coming alongside and you're giving your best for them and uplifting and inspiring, all of a sudden what happens to us is that we forget about our problems. We forget about our worries. And so it's important to serve. Serve others, help others, bless others, be there for others. Serving is something great. You know, we're taking from our own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't come to this earth to be served, but he came to this earth to serve.
That's right.
And if he can do it, so can we. And this story is so powerful because, once again, that gratitude, it did something. These men were at their lowest of the lowest. It's easy to serve people when they're on their game, when they're at their top and they're feeling great. But man, when they're low, when nobody else cares, nobody else wants to be around that person, and you come and you just begin to help, something happens. It builds a true sense of gratitude, a gratitude, gratefulness. Man, this person truly cares about me. And I'm grateful for that man. I'm grateful for that woman, that even in my low moment, they were willing to be with me. But now, man, as we start to rise to top together, we don't forget one another. We just continue to see, help, we continue to honor, and we also, most of all, continue to serve.
That's right. Every Nation, there's a call of God on us right now. God is growing our church. We're expanding. We're baptizing people. Our services are getting bigger online and in person. Yes. To the glory of God, we're reaching the city. We're here for you, New York City. And right now, it's time for us to agree with heaven's song over our church, yes, over each other. Friends, if you want a better spouse, it's time to start honoring your spouse like they're better spouse. If you want better children, it is time to start honoring them with what God has put in them. If you want a better pastor, it's time to start encouraging your pastor, Pastor Shino. No, we treat each other, not just the way that we deserve. We treat each other with grace.
Yes.
Because God has not dealt with us according to what we deserve. This is a bedrock of our foundation of our faith. We don't approach each other with who we are and how we've performed.
Yes.
We approach each other with how God sees us. Man, does that challenge us? But friends, rather than sowing criticalness,
right,
rather than sowing seeds and words of destruction into people's lives, we sow encouragement, we sow honor, we sow faith. And what do we get back in return? We get faith, we get honor, we get growth. We get to see each other change and grow. And so like I've been saying, this is an exciting season in our church. Perhaps you're new with us here today. We'd love to join with you in faith. We'd love to also meet you in person, and you can text us and just say new, and it's gonna help us get to know you and get to know how we can best serve you, how we can best pray for you, how we can best agree with what God is doing in your life. Also, perhaps you need to know this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the King who didn't just accuse us, the King who didn't try to kill us, the King who came and served us. His name is Jesus. He's a different kind of King. Different than Saul, even different than David. And he wants to know you, and he wants to lift you, and he wants to serve you and lift you up.
Yes.
Friends, let's put on together fresh eyes towards the relationships that God has given us. Let's see how far we can take the grace of God into each other's lives. And let's see how far we can take the grace of God out into our city. Once again, if you're new with us, text us, let us know. Text the word NEW to 844-962-3110. We sure love you. We appreciate you. Pastor Shino, would you just pray us out, bless us as we go?
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, to get in your word. But Lord, also God, we want to say thank you. We're grateful. We're so grateful for the people that you've placed in our lives. Father, we pray that we would slow it down and stop and say thank you. To say thank you to those that have been with us in the lowest of the lowest, and also for those that have been with us at the mountaintop as well. God, we need to be able to slow down this holiday season and to see people the way you see them, to listen to the people the way you listen, to honor people the way you honor, and God, to serve the way that you serve. So Lord, we're asking right now, Lord, help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.